Hey guys, I'm your host Adam McCabe and welcome to the Gay Footballers Podcast. For my first time listeners, thank you so much for coming on out and giving this podcast a try. For my return listeners, thank you so much for being dedicated, sticking through this with me and waiting for this new episode to come out. So it's been a while since I've released an episode. Again, I'm really focusing hard on my ACL recovery and the podcast has gone slowly, but thankfully I was able to produce an episode that really happened this past July when I was out in Los Angeles. I was out there for Out Film Fest and was able to do some media around the Atlanta United and LAFC match. And while I was out there, I was able to meet with Patrick Aviles, who is the manager of marketing and supporter relations for LAFC. Now, one of the big things LAFC is known for is the 3252, which is their supporter section at the north end of the stadium. And it's called the 3252 because that's the amount of people that can be held in that section. And I think they, along with Atlanta United and Portland Timbers, are leading the way in supporters culture. So it was really great to talk to Patrick to see how he got into this role, how his role has changed over the few years that he's been with LAFC, and just learning how LAFC has become such a powerhouse, both on the field, off the field, and with their supporter culture. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce you guys to Patrick Aviles. Enjoy. Hey guys, I'm here today with Patrick Aviles. We are at Free Play, which is, if you haven't been to the stadium here, it's attached to or right next door. It's a cool little place. If you're ever out here attending an LAFC match, you must come here. But Patrick, thanks for being on with me today.
Of course, thank you for having me.
So today's a big day. We've got Atlanta United versus LAFC. Really, to me, the two powerhouses of MLS right now. I'm really excited, especially after, you know, LAFC is coming off a really huge match already, El Trafico, and now they're here. I mean, two really big back-to-back games. What's the vibe around here for today?
Yeah, we're excited. We're definitely excited here in LA for, a new chapter, a new week.
Yeah.
After last week's game, we're looking to bounce back for sure. And we're excited, too, about the opponent, about Atlanta, you guys coming in, because there's a lot of respect here for Atlanta United, and especially if it's on the field, the type of football you guys play, it's fast, it's attacking, it's fun, just like our team. And we've been playing a couple teams lately that are a little more about physical play, so I'm excited to see a good match about football today.
Yeah, it's interesting because we are facing similar tactics this year in terms of everyone likes to create a bunker against both our teams right now because we're such attacking forces. So it's very interesting. I think it's going to be a different game. I'm hoping it's a fireworks show. I'm afraid though that if it does become a horse race that we may not have the stamina for that. But anyways, I'm really excited and I just want to get to know a little bit more about you, your journey to your position now. So will you first start off and kind of say what your role or your title is for LAFC?
Sure. So my role here at the club is supporter relations. I've been with the club since 2015, so before we even had Banc of California Stadium up and signed Carlos and Bob and everybody. And really, from the beginning, was about, you know, the grassroots, street by street, one by one mentality of, you know, spreading the good word of world-class football and a world-class football club here in Los Angeles.
Yeah, so we're going to get into everything you guys do, which, again, is, for me, first class. I've loved the way you guys have transitioned this city, really, and the way they look at football and how you guys approach it. But let's start way before that and kind of your background, how you got involved with soccer, where you're from, and you can kind of outline also after that, like, how did you get to this place? You were in a role that I think millions of people, I won't say millions, but a lot of people would love to do your job. So kind of outline that history.
Yeah, yeah, I'll try to keep it brief. I love football. I grew up, since I could walk, kicking around a ball around my house.
Yeah.
My parents are both from Chile, but I was born and raised here in California in the greater LA area. Loved it, and really followed the sport a lot as a fan and as a player growing up. But what really changed my whole outlook on the game and everything around it was a trip I took in 2010 to the World Cup in South Africa. And that's where my mind kind of exploded, because I was introduced to what real global football culture is outside the pitch, off the field, around the game. So meeting everybody from around the world at the World Cup, you know, partying with them and talking with them, getting to know their stories and the clubs they support and where they come from and how they support them and what they do to celebrate it, really changed my mind. And when I came back to the United States after that trip, I was all about doing what I can to help grow the sport in our country. I think that's what every American soccer fan wants, is we want to just grow the game here. We want to, you know, get to the huge level it is, you know, compared to the NFL and NBA and things like that. We want to do what we can to improve our national team so we can compete even better on the field as well. So yeah, and then fast forward some time after that, saw a job posting on Twitter, had followed along. I followed MLS for a long time since its beginning and knew that there was another team coming to Los Angeles, and saw a job posting on Twitter for supporter relations. And I kind of knew what that would entail, kind of, you know, I knew about supporter culture after traveling, but didn't really know what it would be like, especially for a team that didn't exist yet. So, you know, got an interview with Tom Penn and told him some things I think that the club should do and what I would like to see out of a new club in Los Angeles. And here we are, you know, at the Banc California Stadium.
Wow. Well, okay, so did you work in sports before that at all? Or, like, had you had any experience? Because I know a lot of times people trying to break into this industry, that's kind of a precursor, like, you need to do this internship. And I know this industry, it can be a long way to the top or to with that journey. So did you work in sports before?
Pretty mixed background. Okay. Not a lot of actual sports industry or business experience, to be honest. A lot more entertainment. Mm-hmm. Worked in everything from radio to TV to films, whether it was on set, behind the camera, whatever, intern, all that stuff. I used to work at Apple, used to do a lot of photography and videography as well. So real mixed bag. And then at the same time, always playing. I managed a co-ed soccer team, a men's league team, all recreational teams for a number of years. So always tied to the game.
Well, that's interesting though, because, or I mean, I can see as someone, you've got a lot of great skill sets though, being, you know, photography, film, like those are really important things. I mean, again, LAFC's got a great media production team. So, I mean, I can see those are kind of skill sets as well that had helped you. But I mean, that's incredible. Again, going from a team that didn't really exist and a Twitter posting to where you are now, that's an incredible journey.
Yeah, I'm super fortunate, yeah. Super thankful for how I got here, and just been trying to run with the opportunity ever since, try to make it as big as possible.
Okay, and I know this is probably going to be a long-winded answer, or there's no real way to answer this, but what do you do day to day? What, I know a typical day isn't the same, but what are you trying to do, and how has it changed from when there wasn't a club to now that, you know, where you are in MLS, and now you've got to make this amazing thing surrounding LAFC?
Yeah, that's a good question. So it's a lot. There's a wide range, a lot of hats to wear. I would say number one priority is the relationship between the 3252, our independent supporter union, and all of the various supporter groups that make that union up, and our club and our ownership and the staff of the club, making sure that we out the gate wanted to have a real strong, positive, open communication of feedback relationship with our supporters. We know that, you know, part of supporter culture is going to be always a little bit of a contrary view of opinion between sometimes the ownership or front office and the supporter groups, and that's totally fair. I mean, that's great. You know, we want, yeah, everybody, every team would want supporters that are diehard and loyal and passionate, more importantly than anything. But at the same time, we had the opportunity here to create something new. And out the gate, we wanted to focus very hard on real relationships with the leaders of our groups and with all the group members of each supporter group out there. Because, again, these are the most passionate fans. These are the most loyal fans. What they do is nothing short of work for the club. They're spending their time late at night, on weekends, sacrificing sometimes time away from family to get together and to paint tifos, paint flags and banners, practice songs and drums and things like that. And that's so vital to the heartbeat of our club. We refer to our supporters all the time as the heartbeat of our club, because without them, it's just a kind of a quiet stadium, yeah. And a couple guys kicking a ball around on the grass. So they're extremely important. So that's number one priority day to day, is always in open communication with our supporters, working together on things, sharing feedback both ways. It's very much a two-way street. Working on events a lot of times out in the community, very grassroots focused. From the beginning, our club was always going to be about the city. We committed that the identity of LAFC was going to be a club for everybody. Very inclusive, in the heart of Los Angeles, representative of everybody, not just the stereotypical Los Angeles beach and palm trees and Hollywood signs. No, we want to be the club for somebody in East LA, somebody in the Valley, somebody in downtown, somebody, you know, Ventura County to Orange County, everywhere in between. So to really authentically do that, you have to get out there. You have to talk to people. You have to meet them where they go meet soccer. So whether it was going around to pubs or grass fields where people played in leagues or sometimes people's backyards, like it was building real relationships and connections with people in this city who already are passionate about world football and the city of Los Angeles, and making sure that they're heard and their ideas are become reality for our club.
So I can hear, I can see you speaking. I know the listeners can't, but I can just like see the ooze of like enthusiasm and passion, because I mean, and that's so incredible. It's like, and we'll talk about this a bit, but Atlanta United and LAFC, probably some of the, besides Timbers Army, I'll say we're leading MLS and supporters and the craziness of the stadium and how authentic it's been, but I think your process was a bit different from ours. And just hearing how, I think we were downstairs in the HQ and you guys showed me a shirt. I forgot, it was like step by step or street by street.
Yeah, one by one, street by street, block by block.
I mean, literally that, how you guys have formed this community, it's amazing. And I just love to hear that. And it's such an interesting way you guys did it, but it's why you're so successful. And for the fans who are overseas or who may not know what the 3252 is, can you explain the name and that real quick for them and kind of the division or breakdown of that and the supporters groups?
Sure, of course. So we have many supporter groups that comprise the North End or our supporter section. Los Angeles is a huge city. It's very sprawled out. So, you know, although we look and we have, you know, a respect for the Timbers Army, who are, you know, used to be the league leaders in supporter culture,
Yeah. They
have one major group that you can identify. Our city is a little bit bigger than that. And we have different cultures, different personalities, different, you know, it's so diverse in different regions and neighborhoods. So, of course, we have more than one supporter group that are passionate about LAFC. So all of these groups came together, smaller groups like the Luckies, the Black Army, District 9 Ultras, the Cuervos, Empire, Crew, I could go on.
Yeah.
They came together and formed a union, and they called this union the 3252. And that's the union that, when you look up at the supporter section, Bank of California Stadium, you see the 3252, and that number stands for the maximum capacity of that North End. And it's kind of cool, actually, if you add up the numbers, 3252, it adds up to 12. So they are, you know, the 12th player on the field. So it's special. It's a really special thing that shows unity. They work together. You know, they meet all the time and are working through things like community activism or fan relation events or, you know, new songs and chants and, you know, fun get-togethers to keep people involved and keep people working together to support the black and gold.
I've spoken to, I guess, who I have the best relationship with, Pride Republic, which is the LGBTQ group. And one of the things those guys, I think I heard the most from them when speaking with them, was the interrelationship between the different groups is so supportive and so inclusive. And that's, to me, the special thing is there's not this like division of power and no, we were here first or we're larger than you, so we have more say. It's like this group that works together. And again, it's why it's so amazing. And the other thing, if you guys ever watch a game, I love also like the design of the 32, the area, the North End, because you have it like some stadiums in Europe and how the seats are bolted up and you've got the rails. I mean, again, that adds to that atmosphere.
Yeah, and that actually came directly from our supporters. Early on, one of the first things we did is we held co-creation design sessions where we invited some of these very first supporters of the club to meet at our architect's office in downtown at Gensler's office.
Yeah.
And we had them face-to-face with the architects building a stadium and our front office and ownership and obviously the supporters. And one of the first things they said is, we want safe standing.
Yeah.
And it was so awesome because we embarked on the next year plus of research on safe standing and rail seat system, calling and talking to clubs over in the Bundesliga, to Celtic Park, who had just recently installed some, talking to these steel manufacturers and designing. And so because we wanted to commit to it, we wanted to listen. I think that's one of the best things that our ownership group did out of the gate, is they decided to listen and to invest more money into the building of the stadium directly into that supporter section and give them safe standing rail seats.
I also want to applaud. I know I'm giving you guys a whole lot of praise, but you guys deserve it.
I love it. This is quickly going to become an LAFC podcast.
The ownership group, I mean, that's another like huge thing that differentiates you guys from the rest. Like that lineup of one star power, but also these are people from different walks of life. And I think, again, that just adds to this like amazing thing that is LAFC.
No, definitely. There's obviously on the surface the star power and these recognizable names, your Magic Johnsons, your Will Ferrells, your Mia Hamms, and so on and so forth. And that's great.
Yeah.
But I think what people also need to remember is that these names come with a lot of success.
Yeah.
And that comes with a lot of high expectation. So it's great. It's embodied in the work ethic of our club, the people that work here from the top to bottom, is, you know, this commitment to excellence and always pushing to be better and striving to for greatness. So we know that we have a high expectation from our ownership down, so we want to, you know, exceed that expectation.
Now, I also heard a story, and I'm just going to quickly ask if you were part of it. Part of creating the 3252, I heard some fans got to go to Dortmund and see this amazing experience. I mean, first, talk about that. Second, I know it happened, so it's kind of a trick question, but like, what, again, what an investment from the club to create something so authentic by sending people to experience in it, take notes, and come back. So can you speak about that
whole journey? Yeah, of course. So one of the most awesome, you know, opportunities I've ever been a part of. Again, our core of this club has always been about inclusivity and people first, city first, embodying Los Angeles. So we wanted to create a club that is very focused on community and people power. And so when it comes to supporter culture around the world, I think arguably, at least most commonly, people refer to the Yellow Wall and Borussia Dortmund as having one of the greatest supporter groups or supporter cultures in the whole world. So from the beginning, that Yellow Wall was an inspiration to us. And we would talk about it many times with our supporters and leaders. And we talk about other clubs too that do it so great, whether it's, you know, in the second tier of German Bundesliga or, you know, in Amsterdam or anywhere else around the world. But we had the opportunity to strike up a relationship with Borussia Dortmund and learn from them. And then we took it a step further and decided to bring out some of our leaders at the time, some of our supporter group leaders, with us on a basically cultural field trip and exploration journey over to Dortmund.
Yeah.
And that was amazing because we were able to go there and see firsthand a city's real love for a club on a real grassroots day-to-day level. And we sat with their front office as well and learned, you know, some of the bumps that they've had in their roads and some of the amazing things they've been able to do. And a consistent and constant reminder was to always be fan first, always be supporter oriented, because these are the people that are going to be around longer than the players on the field. And these are the people that are going to do great things no matter what. So that was very eye-opening. And there's some other things we learned that I'll keep kind of low-key on an organizational supporter level. That was really great for our supporter leaders to learn firsthand and witness firsthand to see, like, oh, okay, we can bring these little tips and tricks of the trade back home to Los Angeles.
I mean, what first a trip of a lifetime, but also, like you said, such a great thing for the organization to learn. I mean, that's... When I first heard that from Pride Republic, jaw dropped. But I mean, again, amazing steps in its turn. The return has been great for you guys.
Yeah.
So let's take a quick, we're going to take a little detour, and we're going to talk about Pride Republic. So as we talked about, I'm with All Stripes, which is Atlanta United's LGBTQ supporters group. And one of the goals that I've had this past year was to connect with other established LGBTQ groups across MLS. And one of the first ones I was able to connect with was Pride Republic. And we've got a great working relationship, and it's fun to see some of the things that they're doing now that we did last year and just the growth of that group. but I would love to hear the relationship you guys have with Pride Republic and kind of the inner workings of that, because again, you guys again are all about inclusivity and it's a very open relationship that you guys have. So can you just talk about that quickly?
Of course. So it's definitely something we're very proud of.
Yeah.
Again, I'll sound like a broken record, but we want to be the club of the city.
Yeah.
And it's a reality that our city is extremely diverse and very progressive, and we're proud of that. And so, naturally, the LGBTQ community is a huge part of Los Angeles and greater Southern California, California, etc. Everywhere, really. So we wanted to make sure that everybody's voice is heard. And so when these members of the community started forming the Pride Republic, immediately we were happy to reach out to them, just like we had every other supporter group that started from the beginning and say, hey, thank you for supporting our club. This is awesome. I'd love to learn more about your group and what you guys do and what your vision for your group is. Let's meet. Come to the office. Let's talk. And so it just started from there, just like everything else. And again, it's just building a relationship with people and understanding where they're coming from, what they'd love to see, and how can we help make that happen? How can we help every part of the fabric of our community be represented?
And what I think is like super important to highlight and what's different about you guys is it's a proactive approach from you guys, right? You guys are going out. It's not people coming in begging you for stuff. You guys are reaching out and you're giving visibility and a voice to these people. And I think, again, that's just such a huge and positive thing. And I really wish and hope that other MLS clubs can mimic that because, right, like you said, these are your fans and you want to give them that support and give them that visibility, and you guys are doing that.
Right, totally. I mean, it's about inclusivity. It's about equality. And, you know, these guys and girls and everybody are supporting the team just as loyally and passionately as anybody else around that stadium or throughout the city. So, you know, naturally, they're a part of our club.
And again, to highlight something, I'm staying here in LA with a couple of guys who are in Pride Republic, and they were so happy to show me the Pride match video that LAFC put together. And let me say, one, I don't think any other club, or I haven't gone club by club, but I know Atlanta United didn't make like a Unity Night video after the match, but they were so passionate and they were so just excited to say, look at what like our club did, look how awesome, look at this TIFO. And I heard it was the first time you guys did like the lever.
It was the debut of our pulley system.
Yeah, the pulley system.
Was another thing that our supporters told us in the early design sessions. We want a pulley system for TIFOs.
Yeah.
We worked on it for over a year or so and finally got a gun.
But that whole production, you put a video surrounding the night, and it was something that was all over social media and something you guys are proud of. And again, it's just to me a difference. You know, those guys were so excited to show that to me, and they said, look what our night was, look what our club did for us, look at the collaboration with 3252, because they were the ones who made that. I think they were saying they didn't have any real say in the TIFO that night, and it's like, look what they did for us.
Yeah.
And look at that relationship. I mean, I have goosebumps when I saw it, and goosebumps now, because it's, again, it's just an amazing thing.
Oh yeah, it's by far, I think, my favorite TIFO we've ever done, for sure, and one of my favorite TIFOs I've ever seen in all of supporter culture. Freddie Mercury with a big banner saying "We will rock you," and just this awesome pink and purple and orange, you know, gradient behind him, and the people power there, like stomping their feet, singing "We will rock you." That was powerful.
Yeah,
that was some awesome stuff.
So, yeah,
and you know, we had the rainbow flags, the pride flags, flying on the field. It was huge. It was really an awesome moment to be a part of, because you could tell like we're all in this together.
Yeah,
it's cool. This is our pride night, but like we are beyond proud of it. You know.
And something, again, I'll point on is, you know, the 3252, I mean, and I've talked to Pride Republic, they, funny enough, they aren't official because they haven't done their paperwork, is what I've heard, which is a funny just thing, because it's like, well, just do your paperwork. But anyways, you know, again, it was like, they talked to me about how people from other supporters groups being open and seeing people from the LGBTQ community and being just like them, loving football and being a supporter, and their minds being changed about this community. And I think that's the big thing that Pride Republic has done, but with the help of LAFC, because you guys are accepting and you're showing we're all the same, we're here for this club, And it was, we had some great stories about people they knew who would come out to their events that they never would have thought, or if they had a drag show night they were putting on, or a kickball team, and people who were joining them that they were like, whoa, you're from X supporter group. I would never have thought, you know, you would come and support us. But again, it just speaks to this family here at LAFC.
Yeah, it's it really is about respect, and it's about authenticity from, you know, from the core down to our fans. We always want to be authentic about what we do. We don't want to just slap a pride sticker or a rainbow colors on things just and to check the box and say we did it. No, we want to be authentic about it and, you know, get in the community, talk to people, again, build real relationships and, you know, make people feel welcome. No one wants to go to a stadium where they don't feel welcome.
Correct. So we're going to talk about something now, tough topic, I'll say. It's something that both we, Atlanta United, and you guys have experienced, and something I've written about, and it is this, we'll go ahead and say, the Puto chant that occurs. And it was an identical thing. It was our very first game, your very first game. It was, the way I saw it, a crowd that's not the regular season ticket supporters, probably the same. It was probably right. Not your regular season ticket holders that were at the game. But both of our first inaugural matches were kind of marred by this chant. But I kind of want you to give you guys this time to talk about what you guys have done. I've heard some of the great work, again, not only the front office, but 3252 has done. So can you talk about, you know, how you guys, again, were proactively trying to make this an inclusive place and kind of take away that homophobic chant from your stadium?
Right, right. As you touched on and mentioned, it was, you know, a night, our home opener, you know, season one, inaugural season. Everything's going great. It's awesome. We're winning the game. And, you know, it's literally the only negative point to look back on. But it was a little bit of a stain on it as we heard this chant. And we all knew, we all looked at each other and we kind of groaned because we have been, you know, the club of inclusivity and of the whole city. And this is not a chant that screams inclusivity at all. In fact, the opposite. So what was very interesting was how rapid the communication was and response was right afterwards. Literally that night, next morning, the text messages and the chats that we had with our supporters, with our front office, everybody, they were blown up and everybody was mentioning it and everybody was ashamed of it and not proud of it. So it quickly turned to, what can we do? What are we gonna do to make sure this doesn't happen again and we can go on being a, you know, a club for everybody? And that's where the action kicked in, and that's where we at the club wanted to take the stance of being bold and confronting these things and doubling down on what we stand for. So we issued a joint statement, and big shout out to the 3252 and their inaugural president at the time, Joseph Zacher. He worked with Tom Penn, our club president, and they penned a press release, a statement together from on behalf of the 3252 and LAFC. This was not going to be tolerated, and this is not what our club's about. And if you are going to participate in this, then coming to these games and being part of this black and gold family is not, maybe not for you, because that's not what this family stands for. And so that was amazing. That was great. And we pushed it out on all channels possible. And, you know, here comes the next couple games of the season. And just like you said, our season ticket holders who are there every game, they understood it right away. And they knew that this is the culture and this is what's expected. And this is the family we keep. And it went away. Now we fast forward to the playoffs, where again, it's maybe a little bit less of the season ticket holders. You get some new people buying, some, you know, single game buyers, people that are not used to the culture coming, you know, week in, week out. And we hear it again during that loss to Real Salt Lake in the playoffs. And again, just such an unfortunate stain on a night that was already bad enough getting knocked out, right? So what did we do again? Again, we talk with everybody. We talk with our community, our supporter group leaders, and boom, we double down. We make the statement again. And this time too, we didn't want it to just be about words. So we took some time to think in the offseason, right, what action can we take? How can we back this up so that we really stomp this out? So we met with our security team, and a big hats off to our security team here at Banc California Stadium, because they were on board to start putting it on their radar more closely and staffing people in the sections where we thought it was coming out of more than other sections perhaps, and keeping an eye out and actually enforcing, like, hey, if you're caught doing this, you're going to be asked to leave the stadium, and your membership, if you have season ticket members, will come into question, could be revoked, because we don't want this as part of our club. We even took it a step further too, and we talked with GLAAD, the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation. That organization And we here in West Hollywood, of course, a big mega of the LGBTQ community. And we worked together with them. We put it on their radar. And we said, hey, this is happening, so you're aware. And we're not proud of it, but we're going to work together and we're going to change this. So it's, again, being about authenticity and getting into the community and those cultures and letting them know, hey, we're going to confront this and we're going to take a stand and we're going to make change together.
What I think the biggest thing you kind of touched on was the action behind it, right? Because there's a lot of people who will throw out a statement once this happens. We don't agree with this. We're going to work towards it. And that's the end of it, right? They've said their PR piece and then they've gone on with their business. But what I've heard from Pride Republic and you now was there was so much put in after that fact to work to improve these issues. And I heard about the relationship with GLAAD and some of the content that was produced around it. Another big thing I commend you guys on was, I think it was that following game or maybe two games later, you had Simon and Tom Penn, Bob Bradley, you know, out on the stadium with the president of 3252 and the president of Pride Republic,
right,
literally speaking to the fans. And I think there was like a video of Carlos Vela in Spanish, like speaking of denouncing it. I mean, that is like real action, right?
Yeah.
And then again, this is the difference to me from LAFC versus other clubs is there's action. They have taken it to that next level to really connect with their fans, but really actually do something. And again, hats off to you guys. But I mean, for me as a supporter, thank you. But like, seriously, that's some amazing work. And I, again, hope other clubs can, you know, repeat what you guys have done and just the action you've actually taken towards this.
Thank you. Yeah, definitely. I agree with you. I think it's hopefully something that catches on around the league and into other sports as well, and, you know, outside of our country as well. I know it's a big issue in other countries, and we've actually had people from CONCACAF reach out and talk to us about it and try to understand, hey, how was that so successful there, you guys confronting this? Because, yeah, no, like I said earlier, I think it's about inclusivity. This is the sport of the entire world, and it's so accessible to everybody. So why are we going to introduce, or why would we ever allow something so divisive into the culture?
Again, talking with Pride Republic, they told me one like quick strategy the 3252 came up with, and this is just like to me a very easy something that all supporters groups can do to combat it. But I think they said they start a chant to kind of like over or drown out a possibility of a Puto chant and to make it so you can't hear it. And even that is something, again, I commend 3252 because they are proactively working together with Pride Republic and again, trying to make it a better environment. And just something as easy as that, you know, having a chant when your goalie takes a goal kick or when the opposing goalie takes a goal kick to drown out any of these rash individuals who, unfortunately, one bad apple spoils the bunch, right? But if you guys can work together to drown something like that out, it's great. And again, hats off to you guys for that.
Yeah, thank you. And big thanks to the 3252 and our supporters and their leadership. You know, they talked a lot about, okay, do we say something different during the goal kicks? And eventually, after discussion, just came down to, no, just keep singing. Whatever we're singing, just keep singing and sing it louder.
Yeah.
Because what's more supporter than that? If you just keep singing for the full 90 and support your team. They have, you know, we have a saying in Spanish, en las buenas y en las malas. So in the good and in the bad, you just keep singing and supporting and doing your thing.
Real quick to end, I know a lot of people don't like this question. I certainly didn't like this question, but what is the kind of future hold, or what are you looking for? I mean, you're with a very new club. This is kind of probably still kind of a new role, but, you know, what's next for you? Do you want to hang out here, see how the ride goes? Is there, what's kind of your goals? And also, how do you see fan relations possibly changing with technology or with such? And what do you kind of want to improve on or work on to make LAFC even better than it already is?
Sure. That's a good question. I don't even know if I know the answer. But I will say that my heart is with this club.
Yeah.
My heart is with the city of Los Angeles always. So that's number one priority is LAFC, and hopefully one day we experience the same success that you guys had last year and get to lift that trophy and, you know, get to share it around with all our supporters so they can kiss it too. Yeah, that's number one. It's always going to be number one. So I think also doing what we can to always set, you know, the bar higher and be an example for the rest of the league or for American soccer culture in general on the global stage, I think that's also a priority as well. Pushing the limits, pushing the boundaries, doing things a little differently and making sure we are exceeding expectations.
Patrick, I want to thank you for your time. This is game day for Patrick, so I'm sure right after this interview, he's going to go run and do a million other things and get ready for tonight. But I
love it.
Wish you the best of luck. So excited to see the stadium, experience the stadium, and I'm excited for the show tonight. So again, thank you for your time.
Me too. Thank you, Adam. Thanks for having me.
Hey guys, so I really hope you enjoyed that podcast with Patrick. Although that match didn't go the way I wanted to, with Atlanta losing 4-3 to LAFC, it was a great experience, and I'm really thankful that Patrick gave me a tour of the stadium and really, you know, explained the ins and outs of his role and really helped me have a great day experiencing what it is to be a part of LAFC. If you guys enjoyed the podcast, do me a favor, hit that like, hit that subscribe button on whatever podcast platform you're listening on. We love any kind of feedback, so make sure to get in touch, give us a shout out, say hello. If you could do us a favor and give us a follow on any social media platforms, we are on Instagram at TG Footballers Podcast. That's also the start to our email address, tgfootballerspodcast@gmail.com. We're on Twitter at TGFpod. And we are on Facebook at the Gay Footballers Podcast. As always, I appreciate you guys for giving me some of your day listening to these stories, and I really hope you enjoy. See you guys next time. Cheers.